It's really, and it all comes back to, I guess your why. Everyone asks your why you're doing something. That's important to keep them back of your head. When you fail or when things don't go your way, you have to understand or reflect back to why you're doing something. Why it's important to you. That's really all that matters in the end. And like you said, the conviction part, if you have the conviction about what you're telling people or what you're selling, then that will show through. And the certain amount of people that you reach or that you are in front of, they will see that conviction and buy into you.
This is life. This is business. This is the world and what it looks like when people come together. This is the sound of FIO Media.
Hey guys, so just had the opportunity to talk with a really close friend of mine, Brandon Dowd. He started a local magazine in his hometown of Middletown, Pennsylvania. It's called Middletown Neighbors. Brandon actually was an original partner of FIO Media, but kind of just realized that this wasn't what he wanted to do. I was upset to lose him as a partner, but I couldn't be more happy for him now, doing what he wants to do, having success doing what he wants to do. He's a great friend. Him and I spent some time talking about some of the things that have led to his success, some of the ways that he's been able to kind of deal with adversity and overcome some challenges that he faces, in his business, just overcome some challenges he faces in life. We talked a lot about patience. We talked a lot about confidence and what it takes to build up the confidence and how to use that confidence to keep moving forward. So a lot of great stuff. I think anybody kind of looking to start a business or just looking to start anything new, make a change in their life could really benefit from this conversation between me and Brandon. So took us a couple minutes to get going and then we really dove into it. So really, really great piece of content here. I really hope you enjoy it. And thanks so much to, again, close friend Brandon Dowd for spending the time. That being said, here's the podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Today I'm on with a very close friend of mine, fellow college classmate and teammate of from college football, Brandon Dowd. He is the publisher of Middletown Neighbors, a magazine based in Media, Pennsylvania. Brandon, how you doing today? Great to have you on.
I'm good, John. How are you? Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. I'm doing great. Heard a lot of great things about what you're doing as well. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about Middletown Neighbors and how everything's going with you?
Yeah, sure. So I guess we can jump right in. So basically what I do as the publisher of the magazine, essentially I'm my own boss. I'm the owner of my own entity, I guess. And I'm contracted by a company, Best Version Media, to be the publisher of this particular magazine, in which they develop the concept, they do the design, distribution, all that sort of thing.
Right.
So pretty much what I do, or my main goal, I guess, starting off is to, sell the sponsorship space or ad space, in other words, to local businesses. And what that entails is, I guess day-to-day activities is making, cold calls, a good amount of them to, schedule a certain amount of appointments for the following days. And that's kind of a repetitive thing that happens every single day to kind of fill the pipeline of meeting with business owners, getting the name out of the product in the magazine and, why it's beneficial for local businesses to, be involved with. And I guess the magazine itself, really the concept, is we feature families from the area, so Middletown Township in Media, Pennsylvania, We feature families and residents on the front cover each month. And that's really what drives the readership of it and the engagement with the people. And that's kind of the selling point to local businesses, is that this is a product that people engage with, that, you know, they care about, that they themselves can write for and get involved with. So it really makes sense for, you know, your local business to be seen on a repetitive basis. And, you know, you're showing your loyalty to this community. And that kind of goes into all like the branding aspects and the marketing aspects of it. Basically the position, starting off, you know, it is a startup for, I guess, the individual. The magazine right. doesn't exist. And really what, I guess the goal is to get the magazine into print. And that's the stage that I'm at now. I guess the last six months, I've been working up to that point. That's really, obviously it's the goal. It's kind of, it's very fulfilling, I might add. And you know, after, you know, all the struggles and stuff, but you know, having it ready to go out to the community and then every month thereafter, is really what the goal is. Obviously the businesses play a key role, in, you know, the magazine becoming a thing, because it is fully sponsored by the local businesses. You know, there's no right. subscriptions or anything like that. And that's why it's delivered free, to the residents each and every month, you know, right to their mailboxes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congrats on going to print. I know that was not an easy task. So for people that maybe didn't get it, right away from what you just said, 6 months ago, you signed up to basically make, how many cold calls do you do a day about?
As little as 10, depending on how it goes. As many as, you know, 60. It's really all okay. about how I can produce. If I can set, you know, 3 appointments a day is the goal. That's kind right. of a good basis number.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I'm at with that on a daily basis. If, you know, I make 10 calls and I get 3 appointments set, then my job right. is done okay. essentially for the day. If not, it's kind of just, calling. You know, keep plugging, and kind of make some progress in that way.
Right. So you signed up 6 months ago to make, let's say, up to 60 cold calls a day with no promise of your magazine going to print, no promise of you making any money until that magazine went to print. Why'd you want to do that? What made you, you know, gravitate towards that opportunity?
Sure. So, I mean, you know this, I've always been intrigued by the entrepreneurial life, the self-employed mm-hmm. life. You know, whether it was us, you know, dabbling in Connexi or, you know, starting the FIO thing. I've always had the drive to not answer to anyone else but myself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And have the flexibility and the freedom. And so really what I saw with this and Best Version Media, is, you know, the opportunity to, get involved with something that's growing. Number one, mm-hmm. number two, something that I really like. I actually really like the concept and what the magazines mm-hmm. do for the particular communities that they're in. Mm-hmm. And three, of course, you know, the ability for me to create an income for myself long term.
Right.
And that's what, you know, in my head, and this is kind of, you know, most people probably think this way. In my head, I was like, oh, I'm going to get this thing to print in, you know, a month or 2 months, and, you know, I can start making money from it. And that's obviously a good goal to have. But you know, you have to plan for nothing going as planned. Mm. I've said that to you before. And that's really, you know, what you have to kind of realize is that even though this, you know, the whole concept of this magazine, you know, it's all in every state, in the US and Canada. You know, it still doesn't exist where I'm at. And I have to prove that to people. And it takes a while for people to understand and for people to really buy into you as the publisher of a magazine. So I guess going back to the original question, I kind of got off track a little bit. Just the opportunity of you know, working for myself, you know, making decisions for myself, having my success only up to me, really is what it is. Because if I can wake up every single day and choose not to work, and that's, you know, and if I do that, then that's, I know why I'm not going to be making any money. So it's kind of completely up to me to create an income for myself and to make this, I guess, magazine work. And that's, you know, I found that attractive. And also based on the success that other people were having around me with the same thing, you know, I thought it was a good thing to explore. And now I'm here.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Yeah, you're just a guy that is kind of driven by this kind of challenge that you've taken on. Some people might be potentially turned off by that idea that it's all on them. Basically, if you don't get up and make some calls and get out there and meet with people in the community, you're not going to be successful. Some people that's terrifying for, and they just won't take on that risk, that opportunity. But for you, it's a motivating factor. And I think that's right. Really interesting.
Yeah. Just to go off of that, it was terrifying starting off. Looking back, I guess, you know, my first couple of sales appointments, in retrospect, I probably looked like a summer intern walking into the businesses that I did. Yeah. I had a plaid button down, you know, khaki slacks or whatever. And it was kind of like nervous and it could, you know, people could smell it right away. But I think what's important is that I kind of just hit the ground running. And I was aware that it was going to be weird at first. And I wasn't going to exactly know what I was talking about or have conviction with what I was talking about starting off. That's all part of the process with anything, really. You know, the more you do something, you know, the better you get at it. It's kind of as simple as that. Let me back up. The more you do something the correct way that's supposed to be done, the better you get at it. And that's another thing with, you know, sales, especially, it's a very vulnerable position. Obviously rejection is a big thing people think about when they think sales, if they're ever looking to a position like that. But I think it's just based on my experience up to this point, it's been the best, for me, like getting out of my comfort zone and growing as a person, because you really have to learn to not take anything personally. And it's very difficult to do when you just have this idea in your head that, you know, maybe this person doesn't like me because I'm young, or maybe they don't like me because I, you know, looked at them weird, or maybe they didn't buy you know, they know that I just graduated college, that sort of thing. But what I'm, you know, people that are in business for, you know, a reason, and they take it very seriously and aren't just willing to throw over their money for something that they're skeptical about, I guess. And that's, I guess, my job is to make them not skeptical and make them comfortable with me. I think it's the biggest part. I mean, just from the uncomfortability of starting out, and, you know, just continuing with the process and the repetition of what I've, you know, have outlined for me. I think, you know, sticking to that is why I'm at where I'm at today with it.
Yeah. So I think you mentioned a couple of important things there that I think would be really helpful to anybody who's starting something out, or just going through any kind of process where they're trying something new or trying to improve on their current either career or their current endeavor of any kind, is that the first one is patience. So you mentioned that, you went in with this awareness that it might not go great, like right off the bat. You went in with this awareness that you are nervous and that you might be coming off as, somebody who's inexperienced. And I would kind of say, you kind of have the patience to say, hey, this is going to take a little time. I might fail a couple times. I think that's super important for anybody in entrepreneurship or really doing anything that they're looking to do, right? Is that you have to realize that it might not work today, tomorrow, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, maybe 2, 3 years from now. It's going to take a lot of time putting in, but you have to stay committed to it, right? You have to stay on the path. Like you kind of just said, you kind of have to figure out what you need to do, what the right thing is to do, and just stay on the path doing that day in and day out. And if you do that, and if you're doing the right thing and executing at a high level, generally you will have success, right? I mean, that's what I've found, is that as every time I wanted to quit, obviously I haven't quit yet, right? I'm still here. You haven't quit yet. You're still going. I pushed through and kept going, and maybe a short time after, something great happened. So it's just almost getting over that hump, keep pushing forward day in and day out, and good things will happen eventually.
Right. So the issue there is, with people, luckily you and I, we have that, I guess, wisdom.
Right.
But most people, and rightfully so, are looking for instant gratification.
Right.
Everybody wants to live, the lavish lifestyle or be financially independent, whatever it may be. And I've learned this completely that it takes time, it will take time and hard work to get to that point.
Yeah.
And I guess what helped me along with, I guess, like me sticking with it and what I'm actually doing is that I have to practice what I preach. And so
Okay.
what I'm pre what I guess I preach to business owners is, or I help them understand is that listen, you advertising, we're not a direct response advertising product. We're a brand recognition product. There's key differences there. And so what I tell business owners is that, by being consistent and frequent with, your advertising or branding in a particular place, targeted specifically to a group of people or a particular market, by being consistent and frequent in that, you will see the long-term benefits of it.
Right.
Say, your ad or whatever appears in 1 or 2 months, and you come back saying, well, what the heck? Like, why didn't my business, take off?
Right.
It's you have to think about, why, and that instant gratification doesn't, it works sometimes, but it's not, I guess, the best thing to rely on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so,
I
yeah,
would say advertising. Go ahead.
yeah, just practicing what I preach. And so, with that, I have to be consistent in my activity, be consistent in my mindset. And at some
Right.
point, it's kind of hard to measure it at what point, but at some point, things are going to go my way and start to work out based on all the hard work and consistency that I put in
Right.
beforehand. And I think
Right.
that's an important point. It's really, and not just, that's not just advertising, or working, to achieve a goal. It's really, if you want anything that's of
Yeah.
value, you have to be consistent in
Yeah.
going after it.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's a great point. I think consistency and just patience and awareness that you might fail and that's going to take some time, super important. And then I think another thing you mentioned a little bit earlier is like you have this resiliency, right? You have this ability to go into a meeting, get rejected, you know, call somebody up, get rejected, and not take it personally and be able to move forward past that and, you know, move on. Like, that's definitely something that's really important, because in anything that you're trying to do, again, business, any kind of endeavor, you're going to face failures. There's going to be things that are going to hurt you personally, hurt you mentally or emotionally. You really have to be able to push past those things, get over those things, and keep moving forward to be successful, right? So, you know, how are you doing that? How are you able to kind of, when somebody kind of spits in your face and says, screw you, I don't want your ads, you know, how do you keep moving forward?
Right. So to start, nobody cares about your feelings. I think that's an important thing to realize. Everyone would like everybody to care about their feelings and what's important to them and blah, blah, blah. But it just isn't reality. And, you know, I guess that's more something that the younger, like our age and younger generation, need to realize quickly, especially if they're trying to get into a professional role or run a business or anything like that. But the resiliency really comes from, I guess, just in my head, I know that what I'm talking about is right. And I know that, you know, speaking with some people, it's just not going to be right. And you have to understand that, you know, if this magazine or anything was right for everybody, then it just, you know, it wouldn't exist. Like, wouldn't even make sense. So there's going to be people that it just isn't right for. And I guess once you find the people that it's not right for, or say you get a certain amount of no's in a row, that means you're just one step closer to something positive, or a yes, or a sale, or somebody that actually takes what you're saying and understands it and, you know, gives you good feedback about what you're showing them or dealing with them. And once, I guess over the course of the last 6 months, when I would come across somebody that was, you know, they understood it fully, they like loved the concept and, you know, ended up signing on, that made it all worth it. And it gave me hope that there's other people, other business owners like this. And it's just a matter of me getting to the right person or people, and so that's where kind of the resiliency aspect comes from, because if you know you have something of worth or of value, it's just a matter of finding the right person. And you know a MacBook Air is good for me, but it might not be good for you. That's the easier way to put it, and that's why we live in the economy that we do, with options and different directions and whatever else.
Well, I think, I think just kind of summarize, you know, just a belief in yourself, a belief in your product and what you're selling. That's gotta be super important, right? I mean, if you don't believe in what you're doing, if you don't believe it's the right thing, how are you going to convince other people that it is? How are you going to be able to take rejection and keep moving forward if you don't believe in your product, if you don't believe in yourself? So I know that's been super important for me, right? Is just believing in what I'm doing, believing in helping people and helping businesses. And I know you kind of share that same mindset as well, of just kind of helping others and, you know, being somebody that's involved in the community. I know just sticking true to those values definitely helps me, keep moving forward every day. And then, yeah, you also just mentioned about, yeah. So, you know what, I'll just leave it to you on that. You know, I know that those things are really important to you.
Yeah, it's really, and it all comes back to, you know, I guess your why. You know, everyone asks your why you're doing something. That's important to keep them back of your head. You know, when you fail or when things don't go your way, you have to understand or reflect back to why you're doing something, you know, why it's important to you. That's really all that matters in the end. And like you said, the conviction part, if you have the conviction about, what you're telling people or what you're selling, then that will show through. And the certain amount of people that you reach or that you are in front of, they will see that conviction and buy into you. I guess conviction's a good word to kind of talk about, because in like a selling type of sphere, because you're really, you're selling everything you do in life, you're selling something, whether it be yourself in a job interview or with a girl maybe, or whether you're selling your skills on the football field to try to get a scholarship, right, or land a position on a team. Mm-hmm. So you're always selling yourself. And there's particular things that you have conviction about. Like for you, you can run however fast of a 40-yard dash. You know the playbook of the football team and you can execute it. You have conviction about that, and that shows through through the way you play. That just translates to anything that you choose to do, really.
Right. Yeah, so I want to get back to convictions in a second, because I think that's super important. I think just having that belief in yourself is super important, but that doesn't, I don't think that comes overnight. And I want to talk about in a second how you kind of develop that. I want to backtrack also, because I remember what I was going to say from earlier, that you mentioned, if you got that one sale, that first sale that kind of kept, gave you some hope, kept you moving forward. So one thing that I've recently read from a guy named David Goggins, I know you've listened to him on the Joe Rogan podcast. He's a former Navy SEAL and just has a guy with an incredible military career, incredible athletic career, runs all kinds of ultra marathons, right? And one of his concepts that he kind of pushes is focus on your small wins, right? So no matter what it is, even if it's just getting up early in the morning and making your bed or getting a workout in, focusing on those small wins, focusing on those little moments of positivity, little moments of, gratification can kind of help you get over the humps, can kind of help you keep moving forward when things aren't so good. Right. I found that's really important to me, because, most of the time things aren't going to be great, right? I mean, that's just life, man. I mean, I'm only 23. Not that I have this profound, perspective on life yet. But I do think that I have an understanding that it's not always going to be rainbows and sunshine. It's not always going to be happy. Everything's great. There's going to be challenges, whether it's in your business, your family, your schoolwork, your career, whatever it is, there's always going to be some sort of challenge. I would say most of the time it's going to be a challenge. So it's important for me, I know, to be able to look back on those small wins, look up back on that sale I made a couple months ago, look back on, how I was able to get up and get to the gym a couple months ago and use that to motivate myself to move forward. And then also reflect back on those things with a little bit more of a, systematic approach and say, okay, what was it exactly that I did in that sales pitch that got me the sale? What was it that I was doing every day that was allowing me to get up and, thinking and taking notes of that stuff, actually writing it down and using that as feedback to kind of keep you moving forward? I think that's super important, critical to my success. It seems like, the fact that you can kind of draw back on the sale that you've made and use it to push you forward, you kind of share the same opinion.
Right. And I think that's all part of the process of figuring it out. Because what I think, at 20, graduating college, you think that you know who you are, or that you might have a good idea of who you are, but you don't know really who you are. Who you were coming out of college, or here you are in college, but the real world is a different animal. And I think that's been also, the part with me is just figuring out what I'm capable of and figuring out my brain, and how I work, what motivates me, what gets me down, what keeps me going. And that's like, I think that's a really, I think like I, early off in your professional career, I think that's one of the most important things that you can achieve is I guess having the awareness and of who you are and how you operate and what pisses you off, what makes you happy, the kind of people that you work well with, that sort of thing. So I think that's a really good, if you're, say you're coming out of college and you have no clue what you want to do, you don't like your major or something like that. I think the best thing to do is kind of go on introspective, like what am I supposed to be doing or how do I kind of develop myself into what I actually want to do. For me, this, I guess this is the first step in my professional career. And, I guess I don't know, like what I'm doing now, I love what I'm doing. But to say it's what I want to do or what it is to say it was what I wanted to do, I think would be wrong to say. I guess the really what I wanted to do, I guess is a better way to put it. What I wanted to do is just be flexible with my time. I have flexibility in my times that I have, freedom to enjoy time, family, friends, travel, all while doing something meaningful in, community and obviously making a living for myself. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I agree with you. I think that most people don't know exactly what they want, right? I mean, don't know exact, or maybe they know what they want. They know they want freedom. They know they want to spend some time with family and be able to travel and do things that they want to do, but they don't know exactly what that looks like in terms of a career, in terms of what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's important to kind of to back up and say, okay, what do I want my life to look like? And then kind of plan out, how am I going to get there? And then use these kind of introspective little observations to kind of help you move along, being able to say, okay, you know what, actually, I'm not really a morning person. So I got to make sure that I'm staying up late enough to get my work done at night. Maybe that's the best time to do it. Or I'm going to get a workout in the evening rather than the morning because my workouts in the morning aren't great. Or even little things like, okay, I'm going to structure my day, this way because I'm going to eat meals, 4 or 5 meals a day because that helps me have more energy throughout the day. Even just little things like that. I could think of probably 30 more that I've started to learn about myself that are helping me kind of move forward, that help me kind of make my day more efficient, get more work done. And yeah, man, I really agree with you. I think that that's important. And I love the phrase, figure it out, that you and I and Alex Drum coined not too long ago, and not really even coined, but kind of just picked up from some previous influential people in our life, one of our football coaches, right?
Yeah.
And at the time, it kind of just meant like, it kind of just meant the same thing. It kind of just meant, you got to take some time to reflect on what you're doing and basically figure out what you're doing wrong and then correct it. And maybe that wasn't the greatest advice to get from a coach who, might expect a little bit more from, but that was his style. That's just kind of, he wanted you to be able to do it on your own. And what I do respect about it is that it's probably the most realistic application to real life, right? I mean, if your boss, if you have a really good boss, have a really good mentor as a boss, they might be able to kind of walk you through the steps of what you need to do to get on the right track or what you need to do to correct your mistake. But most times you're on your own, right? It's going to be, I made this mistake or my life is going down the wrong path. what do I need to do to fix that? I got to figure it out. I got to figure out what I need to do on a daily basis to get where I need to be. You know, there's always people to help along the way. But sometimes there's no one there and it's just you. And you got to do it on your own. That's why I love that phrase. And I appreciate you, you mentioning that. And, because I really do like, I like the phrase. I think it's something that can really help a lot of people.
Well, the thing, the thing with the phrase itself, figure it out, is, I guess the beauty of it is how vague it is. And that's really the point. That's really the point. You know, you tell somebody to figure it out and they're like, what are you talking about? Figure it out. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Figure it out. It's not supposed to be a clear cut answer of what you need to figure out. That's kind of up to you and up to, I guess the actions you take. And it's really, you know, life is the, I guess when you look at, just in general, like life is kind of this vague word. Like, what is life? You know, like not to get in, not to get in too deep, but just the vagueness and uncertainty of the phrase "figure it out" and just anything you encounter or anything you go after, you're always gonna have to figure something out. But just to go off of that a little bit, the way I looked at, and I guess continue to look at this past year, I guess after graduating, is sort of like a gap year. The concept of a gap year is pretty interesting to me. You know, some people take a gap year to travel the world, or some people take a gap year to, you know, whatever. It really doesn't matter what the gap year is for. But the way I approach the gap year, especially with what I was doing, is that, you know, with kind of like the startup type venture with the magazine that I was about, I just looked at the next year to be a professional gap year. And that, you know, if it works out for me in the end, that's awesome. That's my goal. But if it doesn't, you know, and I maybe want to do something else, I'll have this full year of, you know, working for myself and developing professional skills under my belt that I can take elsewhere. And I think that's, that's really the point of a gap year, is to kind of see what you're made of and see what you want to, you know, take on.
I mean, I wish that was more common in the U.S.
Because
obviously
I agree.
I did took the same route, right? Me and you were, it was, you know, May of 2018, and we did not have any jobs lined up for ourselves, right? We were just going out, hitting the world, with a little bit of a different mindset, trying to do things on our own. And that allowed us to learn all the things that we've learned that we're talking about today. That allowed us to kind of take a step back and really think about what we wanted to do, and then actually going out and trying to do it. And like you said, if you failed, you know, you failed, and that's it. And then you pick it up, and there's always going to be an entry level job out there, for, you know, a smart, you know, college graduate like yourself. But you also, during that failure, learned a lot about yourself, and you gave something a try that you wanted to do. I mean, I'd rather try and fail and then not have got and learn from that failure than ever having lived with my whole life saying, oh, what if I would have, you know, tried, how, where would I be now? And looking back and saying, and having regret. I mean, I think that is something that is a lot harder to live with than, you know, maybe not making a lot of money for a year or two or three, you know, just being careful with your finances, not spending a lot of money, not going out every weekend, not going on vacation. Those are small sacrifices, I believe, that any person can make to achieve what they want to do, compared to the sacrifice you might have to make if you have a lot of regret in your life and you never got to do what you want to do. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're married, you have a mortgage, you have, you know, a couple of kids, maybe, you know, this is down the road for you and I, but might be a reality for someone else listening. You know, you might not have the ability to take a risk at that point. You might actually, because you have a family to provide for, you have a lot more bills to pay. So I think the professional gap year, whatever you want to call it, is a great idea. At least for somebody who has something that they really want to do to kind of go and pursue that. And it's not as difficult as it seems. That's one thing. I think it's fairly easy to kind of, if you have the freedom to go back and live with your parents, or just kind of get, some kind of ch cheaper free living, which is available, I would say, to most people, that you can live pretty minimally, right? And kind of just get by off, working the weekends or working at night and then spending the rest of your time doing what you're looking to do. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. I wish it was more of a norm, because the problem is that some employers will look at this last year and say, yeah, well, you took a year off to travel, you took a year off to start something, but what did you really learn? And what is the value of that? And some people won't see the value of it. Obviously, you and I see a ton of value in it. I hope that through kind of this podcast, just through people like you and I having success and talking about our success, that we can kind of start to change that rhetoric, because I do think that a gap year is the right path for a lot of people. And for some people, a gap year even between high school and college can kind of have the same effect. Before you go and spend all that money on college, maybe it would make sense to take some time and think about what you want to do, try to do something that you wanted to do. But
Yeah, definitely.
yeah.
I think, like, you mentioned that we didn't have jobs lined up when it was, graduation time.
Yeah.
I did not apply for a single job. There's
Yeah.
A few reasons for that. First reason is I've always kind of known in my head that, I know it's going to work out whatever I choose to do, and
Yeah,
I'm choosing
you're definitely a an optimist.
I'm choosing not to apply for jobs, and I know it's because of this choice something's going to work out for me. That's a hard
Right.
it's that's not always easy for people to kind of wrap their head around. But the other thing with
Yeah.
that Other thing with that, like applying for jobs and stuff, it was kind of out of fear. Obviously, money is something that people need to live. And I kind of feared, taking a full-time job and making a decent amount of money, and being starting, then starting a lifestyle that was dependent on that, and then at that point, maybe 5, 10 years down the line, I wouldn't be, I'd be stuck. I wouldn't be able to kind of halt my lifestyle and try something else. And I'd be, listening or answering to somebody else, my whole life, which I just don't want. And so that
Yeah.
decision not to apply for jobs, was largely out of fear for just being stuck in, this weekly, daily kind of, process of going to work, making money, maybe doing something I
Yeah.
like. Not to say that I wouldn't do something that I like, but just the structuredness of it kind of is not appealing to me, which is kind of, funny to say, but.
So even maybe I should take a step back and, what I was saying earlier about if you're married and have kids, you have less of an opportunity. Yeah, it might be a little tougher at that point. But I do think with the internet now, there's so many opportunities that even if you are in that point, even if you are stuck, you can get yourself out. You can change, make a change. I mean, I think it's definitely harder when you have a lot riding on you. But it is still possible for somebody who might be stuck to kind of get out of
Of
that rut.
course.
But I hear what you're saying, because it's difficult. And I feel like for a lot of people, it's very easy to get stuck. I mean, just think about how quickly the last year went, right? I mean, that time just flies by once you get into kind of rhythm, get into a routine. And it's very easy to, one thing can just lead to the next, right? So you get a job, And then, you're sick of your commute, so you move into the city, and now you have, a rent to pay. You're paying for expensive groceries. The city's expensive, so you got to stay at that job to be able to afford that. Now you get a significant other, and now all of a sudden you're going on dates, you're doing all going on vacations, that you got keep working it to afford all that, and it just keeps compounding to where your expenses keep growing. And it's a lot harder to step away. I think it's still possible. I think people can, think about time that they have in their day, think about things they're doing. If they really want to make a change, they can cut out certain things they're doing out of their life. Maybe if you're with a significant other that doesn't really support you doing something you want to do, then you have to reconsider that relationship. You have to say, hey, I got to take the time I'm spending with that person, and I got to put it towards, building this business or, starting my music career, because that's really what I want to do. It comes down to what you really want and making the choices to get what you really want, to spend the time to do the thing that you really want to do. But it's difficult, man. It's difficult once those things come up. So I think the opportunity is there, but I agree with you that it's very easy for people to kind of get stuck in a rut. Things just compound one into the other. Again, going back, I think the gap year kind of gives people that opportunity. And you know what? It could be a gap year in between anything, really, in between college, in between you just taking some time to think about what you want to do. I
And
think it's just
that's
important
an
in
important
general.
point. Just taking it slow. If you're, if you graduate high school or you graduate college, you have to understand that time, time is now, there's really no barrier around the amount of time you have. Obviously in college you have 4 years or to do a certain amount of things, or if you go to grad school another 4 years. But once you graduate and you're out in the world, there's no reason to rush into something that you're skeptical of or something that you don't think is the best fit for you just because of the financial benefit of it. I think it's important to just take it slow and kind of think about it. And taking it slow could take 6 months to a year. And I think that's the point of the gap year, whatever type of gap year you choose to take, is just slowing down in a world, and especially in the Northeast where it's hustle bustle, and things are demanded by people, and I think that's just an important thing to keep in mind. Obviously, if you went to school for to be a financial analyst on Wall Street or something like that, then go for it. That's what you want to do. But if you're kind of in this position where you're not exactly sure, you have a bunch of interests in various things, and you kind of you just don't know what you like yet, I think that you just have to take it slow and take some time to develop yourself, essentially.
I think definitely just taking it slow, having that patience, and then too, realizing that if you do spend a year trying something, 2 years trying something, whether it's an entrepreneurial endeavor or it's going to work on Wall Street or going to travel, that's not that long of a time, and that you could, after that year is over, you're still going to be young, you're still going to have plenty of energy, you still have plenty of time to do something else. So committing to something, in college, it seemed like committing to something for 2 years was an eternity because that's half of your college career. That's a lot. It just felt like a lot of time. And at age 22, I guess 2 years, or 20, right, is a significant portion of your life. But I think, the point I'm at now, I realize that 2 years isn't a big deal. If I were to commit to something right now for 2 years, it's not that big a deal. I can just say, hey, yeah, I'm gonna buckle down and do this for the next 2 years, and try it out and see how I like it. And if at the end of it sucked and it was terrible, well, the least I would have gotten out of that opportunity, at the very least, and I'm okay with this, is that, I know I didn't like that. And I'm fine with that being the smallest bit of value that I get out of that experience. I think people should have that open mind that if you spend 2 years only to figure out that what you just did for the last 2 years is not what you want to do, then I think that's great. And now,
right,
2 years later, you got the rest of your life to do what you want to do, at least try something else and then figure out maybe if that is what you want to do. I think that's important. I think it's important to have that patience and just realizing that a couple of years is really not that long of time. On the other hand, it's definitely important that when you're in business, when you're doing something, that you're moving with speed. So you're not, not working slowly. You know, if a client needs something, you got to get it done. If your boss needs something, you got to move on and get it done. Or if you want to start a business, you got to actually do the work and get it done. You can't just say, well, I got 2 years, I'll get there. No,
like, right.
When you're actually working towards it, you got to go 100% full speed ahead. But when you're figuring things out, taking things slow and thinking about, you know, if I'm going to try something new, a larger time span, having patience, knowing that you might not figure it out in the first 2 years, 5 years, I think that's super important. So definitely important to make that distinction between like patience and then speed when you need it. And then just being able to have the awareness that you might lose 2 years and it's not that big a deal. I think those are things that are important. Those are things that are helping me out right now.
Definitely.
Helping me try new opportunities, keep moving forward.
I mean,
go ahead.
And
go ahead.
The way we're, I guess, speaking is if something doesn't make sense, so not everybody has the luxury of, you know, living at home with their parents after college, with minimal expense or, you know, that sort of thing. So if you absolutely need the financial benefit to live, like you're out on your own and like you just have to start in that way, then that's fine. And that's not to say that you can't still do what we're talking about. It's more so it's just a different situation that you'll have to figure out is a good way to put it. So
just additional challenges. I want to go back to something that we mentioned earlier, right? So we talked about how developing like conviction and confidence in yourself is something that's important for success, is something that's important for being able to overcome challenges. I want to ask, how do you go about developing that? I know it definitely, you know, well, I want to talk about football, right? I had to put in a lot of work to kind of develop confidence in my ability. You know, I wasn't someone who just kind of was born with confidence. For me, I built kind of confidence through repetition. So if I caught a ball 100 times, then I knew that I could catch it 101. I knew I could catch it every time after that. If I, you know, lifted a bunch of weights in the off season, I knew that I was going to be strong and fast. But if I didn't do those things, I really didn't have that confidence. So for me, it was kind of just building confidence through reps.
I think you hit the nail on the head with your repetition.
What is it for you? Would you say same thing or something else?
And it goes back to the more you do something the correct way, you know, practice. They say practice makes perfect. The more you do something the correct way, the better you're going to get at it. And you know, the better you get at something, the more confident you are at doing it. And I think it's really just that simple. Obviously, confidence. Nobody's born with confidence. Confidence is developed through the things that you know you love to do, and it really just comes down to the belief in what you're doing. Number one, and number two, just constantly kind of building your skills and being aware of the point that you're at with particular skill or ability. And that's been something with me, like I'm on the quieter side. I guess with people that I'm unfamiliar with or like new people, I guess I'm more quiet around until I get kind of a sense of, how I would interact with them, that sort of thing. And obviously with my friends, I'm talkative, whatever else, So I guess, you know, by putting myself in uncomfortable situations, being so, you know, sales meetings, every time we go into a sales meeting, a new sales meeting, it's a different person. And I have really no, I have no clue what to expect, whether the person is going to be nice or they're going to be, you know, mean, whether they're going to understand what I'm saying, or be critical. And so from doing that, and just, and taking note of the variability in, people and situations, and how thinking about, you know, I could think that, you know, this meeting is going to go great because of, you know, this particular business is awesome, blah, blah, blah. And then going into it and it completely, you know, failing. I think that experience has given me the confidence to just go into a meeting, say what I have to say in a, with a calm presence. I think it's important to be calm when you're in sales. You know, everyone knows the typical salesy guy, like, hey man, like, I'll give you this deal now and this deal there and blah, blah, blah. People can sniff that out right away as well. So I think, just kind of calming down and knowing that, it probably won't go your way. That's kind of just statistically. But you know that when it does, you kind of understand, like, you can sense when it's going your way and when something's going to happen for you. That's been huge for, I guess, my confidence, and I guess developing the ability to speak in front of people. It's a big one as well. You know, it's not easy to, it's not, you know, if you're in a job interview or really speaking to anybody higher up in, you know, your office or, you know, just sitting in front of somebody that has 20, 30 years of experience, and you're in there trying to sell them something, and, you know, it's a weird dynamic, because I'm aware that I'm, you know, 23 years old, and I'm in this guy's office who's been a financial advisor for 30 years and probably has made loads of money, and I'm pitching him, I'm selling him something. It's kind of just a weird thing that, I've become comfortable with, and being professional about, you know, being in front of somebody like that, you have to be, you have to have confidence. Like I said, when I started off, people could sniff it right on me that I was a scared puppy. And so that just comes, like you said, to the original point of repetition and continuing to just develop your skills in whatever way you can, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you said something else too that really resonates with me, is just throwing yourself into uncomfortable situations. I think that's super important. I think the more we kind of push ourselves to do the things that we don't want to do that are make us uncomfortable, the more confidence we have in general, the, I think the more we're going to find that those things are actually, fairly satisfying. Like, I know that I was terrified of public speaking, pretty much all throughout, almost all throughout college, actually. So up until I was probably 22. And I remember I gave my senior speech for football. Not that I really, voluntarily threw myself into this position. I wish I had voluntarily threw myself into this position before this opportunity, but, you know, we all kind of were kind of, had to give our senior speech, right, to the whole team. And you would think that, you know, these are all your friends and your coaches who you spent a long time with, it would be easy. But for me, it was super challenging. So a couple, I guess there's a couple lessons to be learned here. One is, the way I went about it, I wanted to have some confidence when I was up there. So I practiced my speech beforehand. So I got some reps in, I built up a little confidence, but still when I got up there in front of the room of, you know, 100 plus guys, I was shaking, super, super nervous. And, I ended up giving what I thought was a pretty great speech. I felt I did everything I wanted to do. I got emotional and kind of just let my emotions overcome me and let that take me to where I needed to be. And I was really happy with how I did it. But after that day, really, because I had never really spoken in front of that many people since then, I really have been a lot better with public speaking. I'm not afraid of it as much. So it kind of just took me throwing myself into the fire to maximum, like, because I was one of the most nervous I've ever been for a speech. I mean, maximum fear. and then overcoming it to be like, oh wow, I can do this. You know, it's not that difficult. And I think that's something that is super important. And I'm trying to do more and more is throw myself into those difficult situations. So, you know, I don't like making sales calls. I don't like being on the phone. I'm much better in person. And the more I do them, the better I get, the more confidence I get of, hey, this is something I can do. I can actually develop a skill at, I can improve over time at, and is going to, you know, benefit me in the long term. I got to do more of this. I got to keep going at it. And I'm sure there's a ton of things right. in our lives that we can think of that.
To go off of that, our brains play a funny trick on
uncomfortable,
us.
You know, it's going to help us.
Thinking about,
so I think
the worst possible
yourself into
thing
those
that
kind of situations
happen.
Is really it's important.
Something
for kind
called
of
anxiety,
and
I believe.
Self-development.
When you're thinking, I guess, for example, like if I'm sitting here thinking before like a sales meeting, or like I'm in the car, I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to hate me. He's too big for this, you know, magazine or whatever. It's really an irrational thought, because you kind of take a step back and think about the actual worst case scenario. What would be the worst thing that could happen to you in, you know, something like that, like a sales meeting? It's that maybe you stumble over a few words and don't get your point across that clearly, and the person says no, and that's a wrap. No one's gonna insult you for, you know, pleading your case. No one's gonna, you know, say, man, what are you doing? Like, you shouldn't be doing this. I mean, hopefully not. That's obviously possible, but
yeah.
In general, people are people, and they'll understand the position that you're at. Like, you know, obviously when, you know, being a newbie in sales or something like that, you know, people didn't say to me, oh, man, you got a lot to learn, buddy. Like, nothing like that happened. It was just more so, this is more so they knew I was kind of newer, but they, you know, they were nice about, you know, saying no or saying this wasn't for me, and kind of just moving on from there. And that's, I think it's important really for anything, is that to really be aware of what the worst possible thing that could happen is. And it's really the worst possible thing that ends up happening, if it does, is really not that bad in the end. Yeah,
I think that's something that's always good to kind of have in the back of your head, is that this is the worst possible scenario, and it's pretty unlikely that this is going to happen. And even if that did happen, you know, it's probably not going to be that bad in the long run anyways. I know, so I just had some car troubles, right? I mean, whatever. Had to put some money into my car, new brakes and lines and stuff. It sucked, but, you know, when I think about, you know, what's the worst possible thing that can happen when I wake up?
Yeah.
You know, potentially something happens to my close friends and family. Our house burns down. You know, those are things that are serious. Like, think about if one of those things happened, how irrelevant my car being broken down would be, right? So I think just putting things in terms of that perspective helps me kind of deal with something like a car breaking down and me having to pay some money. It's just not that big a deal, because I think the way I think about it is, okay, if, you know, somebody were to pass away that I'm really close with right now, my car would mean nothing to me. Like, who would care anything about that? And so if you can have that thought and that be the case,
right,
of your current problem, that it's irrelevant if something actually really bad happened, then is it really that big of a deal anyway? Probably not. So, you know, yeah, it sucks to have to, you know, put some money into your car, or, you know, put some money, lose some money or whatever. If you have some kind of problem, you fail a business, you lose a client, it sucks. But is it really the end of the world? Probably not. And you probably can move past it. Even if, you know, you're going into a sales meeting and, you know, worst case scenario, I would think is the client hates you and then tells all his friends that you're terrible. Something like that happens. even if that does happen, is that really the end of the world? No, it's probably not. And you're probably going to live. You're going to live on. You're going to go to sleep that night, and you're going to wake up, and the sun's going to be up, and, you know,
right.
life is going to go on.
That's,
so you kind of just got to get on. You
can't
dwell on those
things.
And, I found that to be helpful,
You know,
which is
plan on
really
nothing
putting
going
things
as
into
planned.
perspective. How big of a deal
And you
really
kind
is
of,
it
it
if
gives
something
you,
bad
yeah, I
happens?
mean, you talk about this a lot
And that
in
helps me approach
Australia with
situations
Alex,
with confidence and helps
you
me deal
know,
with
hitting
issues with kind of
equilibrium.
keeping a level head, let's
And
say.
like, if you can enter into anything with at your equilibrium, I think that's very beneficial. So that get to plan on nothing going as planned. Walking
Yeah.
into a sales meeting, I'm just going to use this because it's the most applicable to me. Walking a sales meeting and knowing that something could go wrong, and that my
Yeah.
plan obviously is to sell this this person to the magazine. But I'm planning on that not going as planned. And maybe my thought beforehand is this person's not going. But at the same time, I have to plan on nothing going as planned. Meaning, if I think that they're not going to go in the magazine, and I go in there and I give a good pitch, and they end up coming to the magazine, that's not as I had planned in my head. So I think it's just a good way to stay level with your emotions, going into something important, because it could work out for the better, no matter what you're thinking.
Yeah, I think it's a really important to stay level, right? I mean, and that includes that when something goes wrong, being able to stay, emotionally stable, mentally stable. But it also goes the other way, and that when something goes really well, to be able to stay emotionally stable as well. And obviously, there's a time and place to celebrate and time and place to express a high and low levels of emotion. But I
Yeah,
think
right.
it's important for most of the time to be able to stay within that realm of kind of equilibrium, stay within that middle ground. Because if you do get, too high up, you kind of lose sight of reality. You kind of set your expectations. At least sometimes I'll set my expectations. Oh, this is how I'm supposed to feel all the time. And that's just not the case because, like we were talking about earlier, life is just
Right.
not all
Right.
sunshine and rainbows. There's challenges every single day. And so, yeah, we would all love to feel at that high every single day, and that'd be great. But that's not the norm. And so, I think if you can kind of recognize that you're kind of most of the time you want to live in that middle ground, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. But if I can kind of let those highs and lows kind of bounce right off me and stay in the middle, then I'm doing good and I'm going to move forward. And then obviously when something great does happen, you do take some time to really go and live it up and
Right.
celebrate that.
Yeah,
But you don't re you got to you do that with the mindset that this is a high, this is a celebration, and this is not like my life, this is not reality. And that I'm when I want to get back, after this night out, after, whatever I'm doing to celebrate, I'm going
Right.
to come
And
back and say
even if we
to the
do get to the
mindset
point
of
where we're
being in the
living that
middle,
high,
being at equilibrium and moving forward.
Life,
I think
whatever.
maybe one day
That at a certain
that won't
point,
be the
after a
case.
certain
Maybe
period of
one
time,
day
that will
we'll
become
be able to
like the
just kind
middle.
of live
And there's always
that
something
life,
higher or something
the high
lower.
life all the
So it's
time,
kind
or
of,
at least
I
more
think
often, if we once we've had some
the
more
thought of
success. But at
being in
least
the
for right
middle
now, where I'm at,
is
That's kind
not
of
a
what's
bad
keeping me
thing.
going. That's kind of the mindset I like
For
to
me,
keep on a day
it's
to
been
day.
weird for me. Like I was always I was an average student in college, average just in high school. I was never really I was a good athlete. I was always kind of just kind of floating around in the middle
Right.
to maybe like
Right.
I don't like a
Right.
2-mile home, but I like to think I was pretty good at the sports I played. Right now, I mean I'm kind of
Yeah.
I mean I'm in Middletown. How do you explain that? And just kind of like keeping that middle mentality kind of, and I don't want there to be a negative connotation to it because it might sound that way, but just kind of, I guess the point behind it is being level-headed, and equilibrium is really the word to stick with there.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a negative thing. I just think that, like, based off the way, the world is, life is just probably, in my opinion, the best approach to deal with it on a day to day. If if life were super easy and great, then maybe you would take a different mindset. But I just think that's just not the case. So, yeah, you know, I think that's a lot of good stuff. I'm really happy to have kind of had you on here, and you know, it's always a pleasure talking with you. I think people are that have listened up to this point would appreciate kind of our perspectives on our experiences so far. We'll appreciate your perspective on your experience. I think there's a lot to be said about kind of what you're doing, about the opportunity that you took, and, you know, the risks you took when you took that opportunity. And I think it's a really awesome thing. I couldn't be more happy for a close friend of mine, especially because, you know, the case was that, you know, you and I actually were partners originally on FIO. And so, you know, you decided that this wasn't what you wanted to do. You wanted to pursue, you know, this magazine. And, you know, for me, it was definitely challenging to lose not that I lost a good friend, but to kind of lose a friend in business. It's definitely a challenge. It was definitely something that, you know, wasn't easy to deal with, but I'm more than happy.
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate that. I appreciate you having me on.
See you being happy and just doing what you're doing. And I would much rather have that situation.
I guess the past conversation that you and I just had, it's all about
than for you to have stuck with us and
finding out
not being doing what you want to do.
Kind of you like, kind of what you want to do. It's all about, it's not
really appreciative.
Nothing's personal.
You coming on here
is a kind of a broad way to put everything you just said.
What do you got going on in your future? Where can people reach you if they want to get in contact with you?
Moving forward for me, I'm continuing with this magazine. It's kind of at the point now. You know, it's in print. The first issue is in April. Unfortunately, nobody will be able to see it. You know, the inside of it, I guess I'll post the cover and stuff like that, that I'm allowed to. You know, I continue to just keep rocking and rolling with this, and, you know, build it and build my own income, as well as, you know, watch it take place in the community. And then, you know, who knows, somewhere down the line, maybe I'll start up another magazine in a neighboring town.
Yeah. Sweet.
That's all up in the air though. But yeah, like I said, I appreciate you having me on. You know, I love the platform, the podcast.
Right.
It's a great thing. Great way to get, you know, knowledge out to people and open up some different conversations. So yeah. So you guys, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, Brandon Dowd. Don't hesitate to connect. I'm starting to kind of develop more of a voice, I guess, on LinkedIn.
Awesome.
Just, you know, as my thoughts come to my head.
Yeah, no
and
problem.
So, yeah, with that, I think we're good to go.
Yeah, awesome. Again, thanks a lot, Brandon. Really appreciate it. I got to say, it's actually been difficult calling you Brandon this whole time because I normally call you by your last name, Dad. But yeah, man, awesome stuff. Great having
you on. Sounds good, man. You too.
And we're going to do this again soon because, like you said, podcasting is awesome. I think it's a great format compared to like a 30-second news broadcast where you get the minor details. I think talking stuff out like this for an hour really allows you to hear the truth of the matter. And couldn't be more happy for you taking 72 minutes to talk to me today. So yeah, we're going to have you back on again. Thanks a lot, buddy. And best of luck moving forward, all right? All right. Take it easy. Bye.